Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings. Wide World on Money FM 89.3.
Tom Brooke, the BBC journalist and the host of Talking Movies, is joining us from Los Angeles on the line right now to tell us who is going to win. Who's going to win, Tom?
Well, you mentioned it a moment ago, Oppenheimer. I mean, Oppenheimer is really the Oscars front runner this year. It has 13 nominations. People are saying it's going to take home multiple nominations, perhaps six or seven.
Wow.
So in that respect, I mean, I'm pleased to hear that, but we would like to have a bit of uncertainty, so I'm hoping for an upset so the evening is interesting. You never know.
Well, and Tom, when I walked out of Oppenheimer, I said it's going to win Best Picture, Best Director, Best Editing, Best Supporting Actor for Robert Downey Jr. and Best Actor for Cillian Murphy. This is the most obvious lock-in I've ever seen in a movie. What are your thoughts? Agree? Disagree?
Well, I agree almost with you. I would say that Cillian Murphy, although he's brilliant and he really has kind of gravitas and makes Oppenheimer work as a film, he is up against Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers. And I don't know if you've seen that film. Paul Giamatti plays this rather obnoxious prep school teacher in New England in the 1970s. And it's a masterful performance. I mean, I really like it. So maybe in that respect, you know, that won't happen. But I think you're absolutely right with your other prediction.
We are so happy to have Tom Brooke on with us, the BBC journalist, the host of Talking Movies, a legend in the film review business and journalism business. And Tom, from where you are in L.A. right now, this idea of the big blockbuster coming back at the top of the Academy Awards lists, it's not a new thing, but in recent years, we've seen smaller films, more niche films, kind of taking a lot of the attention. Are we coming back to the big blockbuster era of films in Hollywood?
I think that's a very good point that you're making, and I think the fact that you've got two huge films, Barbie and Oppenheimer, in the lineup or among the 10 Best Picture nominees has really kind of excited people here. By people, I mean the organizers of the Oscars, because really they've had a challenge in recent times in terms of getting an audience, and I don't mean to put a damper on things, but in some respects the Oscars does seem to be a diminishing spectacle. I mean, last year it got just an audience within the US of 20 million people. Contrast that with the Super Bowl not too long ago, which got 123 million.
Yeah.
But I think the hope is that, you know, with films like Oppenheimer and Barbie in the mix, people will want to tune in and find out what is happening with these films that they know something about. So I don't know whether it will work or not, but I mean, I think the audience will go up somewhat from the kind of rather dismal 20 million from last year.
Mm. Well, I must challenge you on one point there, Tom. The Talking Movies Oscar Preview Special, which will be shown in Singapore tonight at 10:30 p.m. on BBC News, will have a huge audience, Tom, an absolutely huge audience. So I just want to put that out there.
But hopefully, I mean, it'll be maybe you two and hopefully some other people.
Not at all. But speaking of huge audiences, of course, last year, the Barbieheimer phenomenon. But yet Barbie seems to have fallen off the awards radar slightly in the last few weeks, going through the BAFTAs, the Golden Globes, leading up to the Oscars. What are your thoughts on that? Barbie sort of edging out of the public consciousness. Fair or not fair?
I think you're right. You see, I think that it could actually, Barbie had 8 Oscar nominations, and it may just go home with a couple of trophies. At the time of the nominations, you might remember that the director, Greta Gerwig, wasn't nominated, and Margot Robbie wasn't nominated either. So there was, you know, there was this huge thing about a Barbie snub. And I think to understand it, you've got to look at how the Academy operates. That at least with Greta Gerwig being not nominated for Best Director, you have to realize that directors choose directors, and directors tend to want to go for kind of international fare and serious films, and Barbie was neither of those in a way. So I think there's a bit of a bias, and when you take that out to the Academy membership as a whole, that's the issue, really, that it's seen as the, I mean, I think it's actually, a lot of people would say it's a lightweight. I think it's got a lot that's very serious in it, actually. And I think, you know, Academy members are more drawn to voting for something that makes them look good and important, you know, hence the epic Oppenheimer that they want to embrace.
Yeah, I see your point, Tom, on the serious side of things. I have to say that when I watched Barbie, as everybody did, because we were so interested to see, it didn't leave me with a sense of being fulfilled after the end of a movie. I mean, it was just a bit too light for my taste. And I couldn't understand why everyone was calling for Best Picture, especially, you know, seeing what it was up against at the time. So I don't know. I guess I sort of understand why it's not making as big a splash now. But one movie that we haven't talked about yet, which is Killers of the Flower Moon. And where do you expect that to fall? Of course, the design, the set design and everything is magnificent and very authentic. Where do you expect that to fall in the line of awards, if any?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it is masterfully put together, brilliantly directed by Martin Scorsese, film editing, production design that you mentioned, and there's some performances that are good. But, you know, everybody is involved in that film is pinning their hopes on Lily Gladstone winning for Best Actress in that category, and there's a very good chance that she will. But I think she could be the only person who wins. It had 10 nominations. Somehow the film has fallen behind in the Oscars sweepstakes. I think that people didn't really think it like the way it was adapted, you know, from this book, and there were other snubs in a way. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get a nomination, so it doesn't kind of have great Oscars heat. But the Academy, I mean, it does like Martin Scorsese. And I mean, I think at the age of 81, he's the oldest ever Best Director nominee. But he's up against Christopher Nolan. So I don't think that's going to happen. But as I mentioned, Lily Gladstone, she looks like she could really win. And I think that will happen not only because she gave a good performance, but because Academy voters like to be seen to be making history. You see, and if she wins, it'll be the first time ever that a Native American has won for Best Actress. So that's the kind of thing that, I know I sound a little cynical, but that's the kind of thing the Academy likes to do.
On that point, Tom, I wanted to ask you whether you think she should win, because it's a very, very competitive category, that one. I've seen Emma Stone in Poor Things, an extraordinary performance in that quirky steampunk movie. But also I have a soft spot for Annette Bening's performance in Naiad. I like that a lot. It was a sentimental choice. I'm sure she's probably not going to win. What are your thoughts on that category? Who would you like to see win?
I think you touched on it. I mean, Emma Stone gives the most amazing performance as Bella Baxter, this kind of uninhibited woman who has a baby's brain inside her. She's remarkable, and as a feat of acting, the technical expertise she displays is really wondrous. And the interesting thing, actually, about Lily Gladstone is it's more of a supporting role, if you think about it. It's not a Best Actress role. So I think that if there was justice in the world, Emma Stone would win. I agree. Yes, I do think that, you know, there are other actresses in that category that who are really, really good. But I think it's going to go to Lily Gladstone, that prize.
I agree.
It's funny you talk about justice and the Academy Awards in the same sentence. That seems to be the ultimate oxymoron in Hollywood anyway. Tom, as we all know, things don't always make perfect sense to the outside world when they happen behind the halls of power in the Academy. Tom, when you...
I think that's true.
When you look at some of the more basic elements of the Academy Awards, for years it's been talked about how they're too long, and of course the annual host is always the big thing. Jimmy Kimmel is going to be hosting it this year. Any of those other sideline issues surfacing for you this time around? Didn't they talk about they were going to try to streamline the ceremony a bit to make it a bit shorter this year?
Well, what they have done is truncated the pre-show. It's now only half an hour long. They had a press conference a couple of days ago for the producers of the Academy Awards telecast, and I was listening to them, and I think, you know, they're not doing enough. I work with a lot of young people, and quite frankly, they don't watch the Oscars. I mean, they're interested, but they're not desperately interested, and they're watching bits of the Oscars. There's something interesting that emerges. So, you know, during the press conference, the producers were saying, oh, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, he's great. You know, he knows how to play to the house and to play to the TV audience watching. Well, that's all very true, but, you know, there's a fundamental problem here that I don't think they're tackling, and that if you think about it, the Oscars is really a very old-fashioned presentation. It's people going up to a podium and, you know, saying a few words and going off, and it hasn't changed since it was first televised in the 1950s. So I don't know. They're in a difficult position, the Academy. I do think it needs serious reinvention, and given what I was saying earlier about the viewing figures, because I remember, you know, when I was growing up in the UK in London, it was a huge thing. I'd get up in the middle of the night to watch the thing. And in those days, you know, I think movies, we have a lot of movies that we can watch, but movies aren't so central to the culture as they once were. I mean, you know, I remember The Godfather coming out and everybody knew every line and every actor and everything. So it's harder in a way to reach, you know, that critical mass through cinema, although I do believe cinema is very important. And well, you look at what's going on in the world right now, you know, such madness. We need the inspiration, you know, from movies in a way. But somehow, I really think the Oscars is not actually with the zeitgeist somehow. And, you know, I wish it would move more in that direction.
Yeah. Well, this is not personal, Tom. This is strictly business, which is the exact line in The Godfather. He even says the word Tom. So it works perfectly in this context. What is your business? I'm very curious to know what your day will look like. You're the face of the coverage, the Oscars coverage for the BBC News Channel. What is your Oscar day going to look like?
Well, I will get up and I will have breakfast with... I hope I'm not going to offend anyone by my eating choices. I will have 2 eggs scrambled, dry whole wheat toast, and 2 sausages. So I'm fortified.
No baked beans?
And then what is so, no, stay away from baked beans. They can be dangerous. So then the weirdest thing is, you end up, I'm putting on a DJ, or what the Americans call a tuxedo, mm-hmm. when I wake up at 10 in the morning, and then the Oscars is actually starting an hour earlier this year. So I'll go to the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which is where the first Oscar ceremony took place in 1927, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from there, we will get ready to start doing our live broadcasting. So watching the results as they come out. And there's my colleague, Peter Bowes, who's a news correspondent for the BBC here. As I said earlier, it seems very predictable. I think that the Best Actress race is going to provide us with a bit of a maybe Best Actor, but you seem to think otherwise. You seem to think that Cillian Murphy is going to win, so I'll defer to that. Yeah, I mean, I think that the only thing I can say is, you know, it's not a great time in the film industry. There are lots of problems here. You know, the actors' strike and writers' strike from last year means that production has been delayed. They don't have enough films in the pipeline. AI is hovering over the industry in a way that some people find very menacing. But at least, you know, if you look at the 10 Best Picture nominees this year, they're really good films. I can't really, I don't look at any of them and say, oh, why did they include that? And, you know, a couple of them I think are really, really excellent. So that is heartening. I hope that the film industry somehow pays attention to that. But, you know, you have a film like Oppenheimer that is a huge commercial and critical success. And why did that happen? I mean, it's a film that is the single artistic vision of a filmmaker that's not interfered with, and it worked. You know, take more chances.
Fascinating insight. Thank you for that, Tom. Tom, we are going to let you go, but before, just one quick question, and that is there a movie or two that you're looking at in this year, in 2024, that you like so far that maybe our listeners would be wise to go out and either stream online or see at a movie theater?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be rather boring. I mean, a week ago here, June 2 opened. I'm really chomping at the bit to go and see it. I've heard it's really excellent. So that is one, without having seen it, I would recommend. But unfortunately, because of the Oscars, I've had all my time invested in movies from last year. And I mean, you know, there's so many that I could recommend. But yeah, no, I've heard that June 2 is there.
Yeah, wonderful. Please, everybody, tune in to the Talking Movies Oscar preview special at 10:30 tonight on both Singtel, StarHub, and on the BBC News Channel. Tom Brooke joining us here, the BBC journalist and host of Talking Movies. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for joining us,
You're very
Tom.
Welcome.
Very kind indeed. Enjoy the Oscars.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.